It's Jim Manske here.
And Jory.
For the final class in our series of The Heart of Conflict 1. And I'm feeling glad to be alive, glad to be here, excited about what we intend to cover today, eager to get going. Jory's going to lead us in the self-connection exercise.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. This is an opportunity for you to put all your attention on your own inner experience and to take advantage of an opportunity to self-connect. Just take a moment right now to settle into being right where you are right now. And you can start by noticing your breath, that ever-present opportunity to get this moment to focus. Just allow yourself to ride with the rhythm of your breath. And then from this center of focus on your experience, put your attention on whatever sounds you hear around you. It may take a fair amount of attention. See if you can ratchet up your attention to put your attention on what is happening in your ears. And if thoughts arise, let the thoughts be, let them go, and then be with listening. Just pure listening. And then consider your need for security. In this moment, just see if you can focus on that precious need for security as part of being human. Notice if in this moment you are secure, sitting or lying or however you're postured in this moment, are you stable? There's security there. Is there safety for you in this moment? And notice what it feels like to be connected to the beauty of security in our lives. And then shift your attention to the need for stimulation. Perhaps noticing sounds or visuals or taste, touch or smell. Just notice how enriched your life is by being with the sensory stimulation of your life. And savor that you have this sensory stimulation. You have access to this. This is part of your being. Then if you will, allow yourself to shift your focus to a sense of energy and motivation, your vitality of your life. Just to tune into that energy flows in you and through you. Just savor that is part of your being. That you have energy. And then shift your attention to love. Just being with the capacity to love and to have love in your life. That this is a basic part of your being. Savor that sense of interconnectedness love. And allowing your attention to shift to freedom. Have freedom flowing through your life, even in this moment, to have the freedom of where you put your attention. And savor the capacity and the experience of living with freedom in your being. And then if you will, to shift your attention to learning and knowledge. Have that level of awareness. Be with that capacity, that essential part of your being. Allow the experience of this beautiful, essential piece of your being. Then, if you will, put your attention to the sense of interconnectedness, being part of something that is so vast and whole. Just savor this wholeness. It is also part of the essence of your being. And then consider how many other beings you've just shared this specific experience with, and let your heart and mind open to the community that we have here. Love to hear what you would like.
I do have a question. It had to do with the role play we did last week. I heard last week in the course of the role play that the mother had several needs that were being expressed, one for connection and celebration, and also the need for integrity. And so I wonder, when you bring up several needs that might not be exactly in tandem with each other, if you express that both these needs are present.
Yeah, thanks. The idea of several needs, I'm really glad you asked that question because I see it opens up to point to a variety of things. One is that being with another person with empathy, for me, is to be with them right where they are. So if they name a need along the way and they keep talking and you've noticed two or three needs coming up over time, what I generally will do is reflect the last need that I heard, just to be connected to where they are. But I will make a note of those other needs on my sheet of paper and see if they arise again. So I'm really wanting to track all the needs. In terms of reflection, I reflect the needs that I hear them really rest with and end with. And there is a time during the mediation where I will check about other needs that I think I may have heard. And that is toward the end, and it's going to lead us into our lesson for today, which is how we come to resolution in the end. And it's at that point I'm going to want to check on these other needs. The key really is in the reflection, to keep it very simple. They'll let us know if they want to bring something up. Or even the other disputant might say, well, I also heard, which is wonderful for them to hold some of that. We're not the only holders of the needs. We're the reflector and the tracker of the needs. So does that answer your question? And do you have another one?
That answers it. Thank you, Jory.
Okay. Any other questions that arise for anyone else?
I understand that sometimes we ask the person if they have any requests. So we start out with what we're seeing and hearing and then asking them what they're feeling and what they're needing. But I don't know when to see if they have any requests, because it felt like on our last call we just kept on going for the feeling.
I generally don't have a sense that we ask people for their feelings and needs that directly, but we do focus there.
And there is a natural unfolding of the mediation process, which is really the subject of the lesson today. By way of review, to go through what the whole process looks like, we talked about in the first class that it's divided into three phases, the beginning, the middle, and the end. If it's a formal mediation, before the clients even arrive, I'm going to take some time to do some self-connection and to get really clear on the needs I'm hoping to meet by playing the role of a conflict worker or mediator or whatever you want to call it, how we're hoping to contribute to ourselves by moving into a mediation process. And then when the folks arrive for a mediation, if it's a formal mediation, it's as if they're both bringing in a bubble of pain, and they are probably arriving with a fair amount of constriction in their bodies, in their hearts, in their minds. Maybe they're holding enemy images of the other person. There's all kinds of stuff that can be going on in their emotional selves when they arrive. So I'm wanting to be ready with empathy at the very first moment, to just really be present to their arrival. I'm living the process as best of my ability from the moment I open the door and invite them into the house. I'm inviting them into a field of empathy. When we begin the formal mediation, we might just say a few words about what the mediation process is like and answer their questions and so forth, then ask who would be willing to listen first and move into the heart of the mediation, which is the middle phase. I see that as a place where I'm tracking this bubble of pain between the two people, helping to harvest the needs that are present for both parties. And so I don't know if we've talked about this particular strategy in this class of keeping track of the needs on a whiteboard or a flip chart so that we can refer back to them later. During the initial phases, I'm probably going to keep my focus with the parties, just listening and taking notes on my own pad of the needs that I'm hearing. And at some point, you'll begin to notice a natural shift in the process. And we've had glimpses of that during our practice sessions, where enough empathy has been applied and connected to so that people's constriction has begun to release and there's an openness to strategy, an openness to explore ways of resolving their issue. This is a natural process. Once we're connected at the need level, ideas will naturally start to bubble on how to resolve the problem or the issue that's bringing them to the table. So what we're looking for as mediators is the evidence of this shift as it occurs. Some symptoms of shift are a relax in the body posture. Maybe they say something with their words that indicates that they have some ideas that they would like to present. There's an empathic sense of openness that is present. Those are a few of the symptoms of shift that you might notice. Maybe there's a leaning in rather than a crossed arms and moving away from one another. There's a leaning in.
There's also perhaps curiosity about the other person, or they start to express some concern for the other person.
And another really important symptom for me of shift is gratitude, the presence of gratitude, that the parties might move towards expressing gratitude to one another. Something that seemed impossible at the beginning of the process is a natural outgrowth of empathy and shift. So once we become aware of that, we could just continue to track the natural unfolding of the process as ideas naturally start to bubble, or we can assist that process, maybe by asking a question like, so these are the needs we've got identified here, and we might just go through the list of three or four or seven needs or whatever, or have them up on the board. Take a moment to look at those needs together and connect, savoring the energy of those needs like we just did at the opening of this mediation class.
And we might check to see, and we might ask them, is there something missing here for you?
This is the place where we might uncover those unspoken of needs before that we haven't reflected. Someone might say, oh, yeah, well, what about that need for creativity? Yes, yeah, thanks for bringing that back, and we'll add that to the list.
Or I might see something on my list that didn't get voiced, and I would check, you know, is this also, this need here, important for us to consider with all of this as well? They might say yes, they might say no. If it is, we add it to the list.
Then we just move into a process of who's got some ideas about how to address these needs. And it's really natural for the parties to come up with ideas at that point because they've already been thinking about this. It might be unconscious, but this is like a process of bringing to consciousness something that's already been going on. It's like so deep in our nature to solve problems, to move towards resolution, to figure out ways to get our needs met. So this is already happening, and we're just, again, facilitating a natural process. And we might be writing these ideas down in our notebook or up on the flip chart or whatever your strategy is. And then as we wind through the final part of the process, we might notice that there seems to be some energy around some of these ideas that have been generated. And this is where we use our NVC skills around requests to gain clarity on the agreement that the parties seem to be moving towards. And so we'll do our best to make sure that the agreement is concrete and specific and that it's stated in the positive. So that it's focusing on what the parties do want, not on what they don't want. That there's an openness and a willingness to try the agreement. And finally, that there are some steps that can be taken in the present moment that can begin the process of resolution. It might be something like coming to some agreements about payment if there's some restitution involved. It could be making appointments for future meetings. But some present action that can begin the process of resolution moving right now.
One of the present actions often that happens in more formal mediation is to write it all down and have everybody read it, to know whether they're willing to commit to that, and if they are, to actually have them sign it. And part of our role as we go through this is to be in charge of reality checks, if you will. That's what we call it. We call ourselves, one of our roles is to be a reality checker, to really check with people. And there's empathy involved in this piece, too, to really use our sensory acuity to connect to the energy with which people are saying yes. So someone says, oh, okay, I'm not willing to settle for that. I'm wanting to really support the aliveness and the commitment to the agreement. Otherwise, really, it's not an agreement. I don't have a lot of trust that this will serve or that it will actually be followed through. So the one person who's saying, oh, okay, and it's not serving them, I'm pretty sure it won't serve the other person either because of the lack of commitment. So I might say something about that. I might question the person about that, but I do address it. The other thing about the reality checking is to actually look at the needs and go, well, you know, let's really see. You know, I hear that you're willing to trade off 1 week or the other. One chooses 1 week and the other chooses the other week. I'm looking at this need over here for support over here, and I'm really concerned that maybe this won't meet that need. How do you feel about that? So that's what it might sound like. But I'm really holding their needs precious during this time, and to really question and explore and consider whether the needs that are named are met.
This resolution phase is a place where we can really walk our talk. And the talk that I'm talking about here is that connection supersedes resolution. So we might get really tempted as we get closer and closer to resolution to get addicted to the strategy that has been proposed. And what I'm inviting you to do is to stay in empathy and to stay in openness to outcome. even if we're right at the moment we're about to sign the papers, get right down to the dotted line, if you empathically sense an objection, that's a really juicy place to go to. Because I want to address the objection before we move into signing any agreement, because I want to make sure that all of the needs are addressed. And the presence of an objection is just the opportunity to explore another need that maybe we haven't explored before. So I want to pause here and invite you to drop inside yourself and just to notice how all this information sits with you. And if you have some questions or requests around this information that you'd be willing to ask at this point. I guess we're complete with this lesson piece unless there's any other hanging questions. Okay, great. Well, maybe today in the mediation, as we move into practice now, we'll get to this third phase and get a chance to play with it a little bit. I guess maybe we'll start with finding a dispute to work with.
My request actually for this dispute is that it be something fairly simple, maybe even involving a child, so that we could take the mediation a bit further this time into practicing some resolution.
Does anybody have any ideas about a conflict that we could work with today?
I witnessed one with a child. Had a plate of crackers and she's 5-year-old, laying on the floor happily eating her crackers, and her 3-year-old brother came over and picked up the plate and took it over where he was sitting. He said he had put those crackers on the plate, and of course it exploded into violence and hitting, and they were both given timeouts, but I never saw any peaceful resolution to that conflict. That's one I saw.
Okay, great. We might be able to get through this one pretty quickly, so let's just go ahead.
The thing about working with children really small is that things go very quickly. They're not into a lot of words. I'm happy to go with this because I think it'll be very simple this way, and we can take it all the way through. Generally, mediations with children are 5 minutes or less, so this one will probably be a little bit longer because we'll stretch it out to work with. Who's willing to be one of the children in this mediation? Janelle? Yeah. Okay, you want to be the one who has the cheese and crackers first, or the one who takes them?
I'll have them first.
Okay, so then who would be willing to play the other child? Ivory.
Right.
Okay.
It's the conflict between Danelle and Ivory, and I'd like to invite everyone else to play the role of mediator, and we'll just go around the circle with doing our 3-minute pattern.
Consider whether you're ready to summarize the needs and move into resolution. If you hear them or you sense within them the openness to consider some other options besides fighting. So now take the moment to self-connect, to be aware of whatever your intention is around playing whatever role you're going to play in this. And for those of you who are playing the mediator, get clear on where your focus is, that your focus is on the disputant's experience. That's more important than whatever process you go through in terms of questions and who speaks when. Focus on that empathy. And so you are the observer. You might want to be writing down reflections of the experience you heard in preparation and maybe a list of needs. So you might want to reflect the pain. You might want to reflect the need. You might want to sit with that and savor it. All righty. I will begin. Probably just say a couple of sentences and get them talking, and then you'll pick it up, Shauna. Oh, I notice you're both really wanting these crackers. I wonder if I can help you with this.
They're mine.
Yeah. So I'd like to be able to hear both of you, and I wonder if one of you would be willing to listen first and then get your turn after that. Is one of you willing to listen and then get a turn after?
Okay, I'll do it. They're my crackers, but I'll do it.
Okay, is that you, Ivory?
Yes, I'll listen.
Thank you, Ivory. You will get a turn. If you would listen, then you'll have a turn, too. So, Janelle, would you tell us what happened? How are you?
I'm not happy. Every time I try and sit down and mind my own business, she just comes and takes anything I've got. And she just took my crackers, and I just wish she'd go away and leave me alone.
No, I didn't.
See? That's what she does. She just helps us. She's having fun upsetting me. That's all she wants to do. It's always like this. I just sick of her. I wish she'd just go away.
Na, 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 na.
So, Jonna, would you pick it up from here?
Ivory, I hear that you are really wanting to be heard about this. And I'm wondering if you would listen while I talk with Janelle, and then I will make sure that you get a turn. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much, Ivory. So, Janelle, I'm hearing that you'd like to have some choice about what you have and what you are doing.
I just want her to leave me alone. I have my crackers. I'm minding my own business. She's always coming along and taking whatever's mine. And I don't even think she wants my crackers. I think she just wants to upset things, and that's what she does. She just takes things away, and then we have these fights.
You would like to just have your own voice about what you're doing. Is that right?
Yes. I choose to sit here and not be bothered and eat my crackers, and I can't do it.
Okay.
I can't do it. She's
okay.
Even around.
Okay, so choice about what you're doing is important to you. May I go tell Ivory about what you would like here?
Yeah, good luck.
So Ivory, Janelle says that she wants to have choice about what she's doing and how she's doing it. Can you tell me what you hear that Janelle wants?
She wants choice, and she wants...
Thank you, Ivory. And so, can you tell me how you feel about that?
And then to Jan.
Janelle wants everything. She always wants everything. So, I don't like that.
I just want what's mine. I just want you to leave my things alone. That's all. Just want you to leave me alone.
Okay, well, let's stay with Ivory right now, please. You'll have a chance to speak again.
Okay.
Can you tell me some more?
I put the crackers on the plate. I was going to have them, and I went away. And every time I look for something of mine, it's gone. And she always wants everything I have.
Disappointed. You'd like some recognition of what's your space and what's yours.
Right, right. She has to leave my things alone, and I'll leave her things alone.
Yeah, so you really like space to enjoy your stuff.
Right. Mama says we have to share everything, but I don't always want to share everything.
No, she just wants to take what's mine. She thinks anything that's mine, she should be allowed to share.
Yeah, so I guess you're just hurt and wanting recognition of what's yours.
Yes. I'm tired of her saying that's sharing, that I can't even eat my crackers without... Her saying that they're hers and that everything that I have is hers and she should be allowed it because Mama said we should share. She just takes things away and says we should share.
I want to hear more about that. You're tired of asking for things to be shared, is that it?
No, I just want her to leave my things alone. She thinks that anything that's mine is hers, and when I say it's mine, I want you go away, this is mine. She says, oh, Mama says we have to share, and she takes it away, and then she says, as soon as she's taken it away, she says it's hers now, and she makes up all these stories. She's a liar. It's not what happened.
I'm not.
I wonder if we could slow this down a little more. I wanted to get a reflection that Ivory would really like for her to do what she wants. Would you say that you heard her say that?
Yes, I heard that Ivory saying that she wants some space.
Thank you.
And then to Teresa.
So, Janelle, how do you feel when you hear Ivory say that?
Ivory had the whole house. She had the whole house to herself. She didn't need to come over and get near me and start trying to take my stuff away. She's got all the space that she wants, and I just want to be left alone. She can have everywhere that I'm not. She just... comes to me and bothers me all the time. And I'm just, she can have space. I want her to have space, too.
Mm-hmm. So you really want to have your own space and know that it's yours.
Yeah. If space means leaving me alone when I don't want somebody bothering me, then I want space, too. And if she doesn't have to bother me, and I won't bother her. I got that cheese myself. It was mine. And she could have just stayed where she was or gone and got her own, and she would have had plenty of space.
So it's really important that you get to keep what is yours.
Yes. I mean, she can't eat the same food I eat. Mine to eat. I want to eat it.
Mm-hmm. So, Ivory, I heard Janelle say it's really important to her to keep what is hers. Can you say that back to her?
Okay, you want to keep what's yours. You're a horse. You never want to play with me. You just want to have your face and your cookies.
Uh-huh. Realizing I should probably say thank you.
That's okay. Stay with the bubble of pain with Ivory.
So, Ivory, you really, it sounds like you'd really like to have some time and some connection with Janelle.
Yeah, she's, you know, doing things with her friends and talking to Mommy more than I do, and I want to play with her sometimes, but she's such a pain, so dingy.
Yeah. So you just really would like to be able to play sometime with Janelle.
Yeah.
So, Ivory, you would really like some attention from Janelle, is that correct?
I want her to play with me.
Sure. Yeah, that would feel good to you, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Janelle, let me ask you, what I'm hearing Ivory say is she wants to play with you.
Yeah, I play with her all the time. I'm always playing with her. And as soon as I sit down and want to just mind my own business for a while, she bothers me. So she gets everybody involved in making me play with her or do what she wants. And that's what we're doing here. I was over there eating my crackers, and now we're having this big old thing. And I just want some peace and quiet.
But Janelle, can you just repeat back to me that Ivory would really like to play with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I hear Ivory wants to play with me.
And so when you hear that, how does that make you feel?
Well, like I said, I play with her a lot, and sometimes I don't want to play with her. I want to sit quietly and eat my crackers and maybe look at my book or be quiet for a little while. She's busy. She just is always on me to play with her.
So you feel like that it kind of invades your space then when you need some space?
Yeah. I mean, if she'd leave me alone sometimes. But if that's what she does to get me to play with her, it doesn't work very good. Because it just makes me mad, and it makes me just want to get away from her.
Right.
Last thing I want to do is play with her when she does that.
Okay. Ivory, let me ask you something. Janelle is saying that when you do what you're doing, it doesn't make her want to play with you. How do you respond to that?
You mean when I take her cookies, she doesn't want to play with me?
Yeah, that's what she's saying, is that when you come over and take her cookies, that doesn't make her want to play with you. So how do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know how to get her to play with me.
Oh, okay. What I'm hearing is that you really want to play with her, and you want your space. She wants to play with you, but she also wants her space. Does that make any sense? Is there some respect that maybe both of you are asking for?
What's respect?
Where when she wants to play, you let her play even separate, and when you want to play, you can do that separately. You may not be sharing that time, so you respect that.
Well, I get lonely, and I want her to play with me all the time. I don't know what to do.
Right. Okay. And that loneliness is an important feeling. It is an important feeling for you to recognize.
It's important for me to do what?
To recognize that as one of the reasons you want her to play.
Okay.
What she's saying is when you take her cookies, that doesn't make her want to play with you. Does that make any sense?
Yes. She's angry instead of plays with me.
Let's just put it on pause for just a moment and just hold where you are in the role and invite the mediators to just drop into yourself and see how you're feeling right now at this point in mediation. Connect to the needs that you have heard expressed by the parties. And I'd just like to check in with each of the parties briefly in role, find out how you're feeling right now. So Janelle, what on for you in role right now, if you could just express it.
I just love that man who's helping me because he's hearing me. And finally, I'm hearing that she's starting to listen. I didn't know what, I like what's happening. I like this.
Thank you, Janelle. And Ivory, tell us how you're feeling right now in role.
I didn't know that what I really wanted was her to play with me.
Yeah, so you have a little more clarity than you had at the beginning about what's important to you.
Uh-huh.
So I'm beginning to sense that we're pretty close to being able to move more toward a third phase of the process here. So I'm going to suggest that one mediator volunteer here to carry us through for about 10 minutes to see what can happen. So is there a mediator who would be willing to volunteer to continue the process for a few minutes here?
This would also include the possibility of moving toward a resolution.
So who would like to practice this last piece here?
I'll volunteer.
Okay, Jen. So pick it up from here, and we'll go 5-10 minutes and then check in again on how it's going after that. So you've got, if you need some coaching, you can push it on pause, you would like, and make a request for some support, or you can just carry through for a little while, okay?
Okay. Picking up from where we were, I think we were talking about taking cookies doesn't make her want to play. I think you reflected that, didn't you, Ivory, that you heard that taking cookies doesn't make Janelle want to play with you?
What I said was she gets angry instead of playing with me, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so are you disappointed because you'd really like to find a way where she would want to play with you? Is that it?
I'm disappointed she doesn't play with me. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, just really disappointed about play not happening. Is that it? You just really feel sad when you want to play with Janelle. Is that it, Ivory?
I feel angry. Angry.
Yeah.
Maybe sad.
Well, she doesn't act sad. She just comes and snatches my plate. That's what she does. She just comes and snatches.
Okay, Janelle. I'm guessing, okay, we've got the anger, so you're thinking that, so play is really what you want, and it just hurts, and the answer is no. Is that it, Ivory? Something now.
Yeah, I want her to play with me all the time, and she's always doing other things.
So do you want Janelle just to know how hurt you feel when she says no, when you want to play?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me take that over to Janelle.
Okay, Dan, before you take it over, you're about to ask her to reflect a feeling rather than a need. You can add feeling to her need first and then take the need over.
Okay. Okay, so you really do understand. You feel hurt when she says no. Is that it?
Yes.
And you just want that understanding?
Yes.
Okay, pause. So is that...
My concern over several things that have been said up till now about one person making the other person feel or hearing something making someone feel is likely to stimulate guilt.
Okay.
I would just take over. She just wants some understanding.
So Ivory wants some understanding. So let me take that over to Janelle. Janelle, would you be willing to reflect that Ivory just really wants some understanding here?
You're saying that she wants understanding, but I don't understand what's happening here. I don't understand what's going on.
Okay, so you're just really confused right now. And what I'm asking is that you just acknowledge what Ivory wants right now, what she just said, that just now she would just like to be understood a little more.
Ivory wants understanding.
Thank you, Janelle. And hearing that, I wonder what you'd like to share.
Ivory wants understanding, and Ivory wants me to play with her anytime she wants. And if I don't want to play with Ivory, Ivory wants to do anything she can to get me to play with her, including taking my food and lying about it being her food. And Ivory wants. And I just want a break from Ivory and her wants. I've got some wants, too. I just want to be left in peace for a while.
You really want in peace? Is that it?
Yeah, I want some peace. You know, when I play with Ivory a lot, and I don't want to play with Ivory, she says, you heard her say it, she wants to play with me all the time. Well, what about me? What about what I want? I want some peace. I want a break.
So you really want some peace. Let me take that, Ivory.
I'm just going to stop you right here and just... See if she'll say yes to that. Otherwise, go back to Janelle. So you really want some peace. And see if you can get some acknowledgement of that before you carry it over.
Okay. So, Janelle, you really want some peace, is that it?
Yes, I want peace. Yep. When I think about having some peace, oh, I want peace so badly.
This is a great place to savor. Peace.
Peace, yeah. That's what I want. Yes, please.
And then when you're ready, carry that over.
Ivory, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share that you heard that how much Janelle wants peace.
She wants peace. But does that mean for a day?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ivory. And hearing that Janelle wants peace, what do you want to share with Janelle?
I'm afraid that she'll never play with me again. Does she want peace for a long time?
Are you just wanting to get clear on...
Let's stay with her pain here. It's really scary for you. We'll just stay with the pain a bit.
So, yeah, it's really scary for you to not know when you'll have a chance to play again?
Right. Yeah.
Really wanting some hope around having another chance to play. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love to play. So we can savor this. You just love to play.
Just love to play.
Yep. She's my only friend.
So you really cherish her friendship.
Yep. She's my big sister. Yep.
Yeah.
I'd like to pause it here and just ask all the mediators to consider what you would say next and write it down at this point in the mediation, including you, Jan. Just have all the mediators consider what's your intuition telling you about what the next step would be. We'll just be quiet for 1 minute. People can write. Disputants, just stay and roll and hold the feeling that you have in this moment. Maybe make a note of what you're feeling and needing in this moment. Okay, you're not quite done writing yet, that's fine, just finish it up. I'd like to hear from the mediators, recognizing that there's no right answer here. There's just an intuition of where you might go next. Richard, what did you write down, or what's your intuition?
I thought I would say that friendship and connection is really important to you, and really start moving toward that.
Okay, acknowledging the last need that you heard about how important friendship and connection is to you, okay?
And what do you mean by moving toward that?
What does that mean to you, to flesh that out so she can see what she can do to move, she can have a friendship?
Uh-huh. What need will you be hoping to meet by doing that, by getting her to understand more about herself, is that it?
Yeah, the whole thing about friendship and connection, if that's what Ivory's asked for, then there's a way to do that with Janelle, but she just doesn't understand how to get there. So
you'd want to move toward resolution after that. Okay.
Thanks, Richard. Teresa, what did you write down? What's your intuition?
I wrote down that I would carry that over to Janelle, that desire for friendship, having her reflect that back.
Okay, yeah. And Jonna, what did you write down, or what's your intuition?
I wrote down, I would say to Ivory, you're really worried and wanting your big sister to care about you. I'm not sure if at that point it would be effective to say, and what would you like her to do so you would know, or whether to go over to Janelle with that.
Either to have the reflection or to try and move it toward resolution.
Yeah, start getting some ideas about how their feelings and needs could be eased. Yeah.
Okay. And Jan?
To reflect the friendship and take that back. Another one was to just maybe be a little more leading and say something like, are you struggling to find a way for both the play and the peace? So it would be holding both needs. But I don't know if that would be hoping that both needs. But maybe it would be better just to go with friendship and then bring that out a little bit later.
Okay, so you see that you are at a choice point and that you have some choices about which direction that you could go here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think given the age of the child, it might be to stay with the friendship piece.
To stay with the friendship piece, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's check in with our disputants and see how they're doing. I'm guessing it's challenging to stay on hold like this and to hold where you were, but what's alive in you right now, Janelle?
Yeah, it is hard because I did sort of switch into thinking what I want the mediators to do, or if I was a mediator.
I'd love to hear what you would like the mediators to do.
I was thinking that if the mediator said to my sister, so you really love to play, and she'd say yes, and then, so you and John L. have fun sometimes when you play together. Yes. And you heard John L. say that she wants some peace sometimes. Yes. Well, do you think there's a way that we could maybe come up with a way that you can play sometimes and that John L. can get some peace sometimes so that she's still going to play with you? Because I think the other kid wants some reassurance that if she lets the play go now, that she'll still get some. So do you think we could maybe come up with a way that John L. can get some peace and that you can still play together sometimes?
Great. I just want to say one thing about what Janelle said. That's kind of like what I'd call an empathic summary, where you summarize and get agreement from each of the parties about one or two key needs, and then you move into, does anybody have any ideas about how we can get all of these needs met? So thank you, Janelle, for that intuition. What's up for you, Ivory?
What Janelle just said was perfect for me. I want to make sure that she's going to take care of me, be there for me. What Janelle just said, I can give her a little piece if I know she'll always be here to play with me.
So let's just try this empathic summary idea, and I'll play the role of mediator for just a minute and see if we're actually ready for resolution or not. We don't know. Let's just assume that we've noticed some shift, that we are empathizing with some openness outcome here, and that you have a sense that the two parties are pretty connected to their own needs and each other's needs. And so I might start by saying, so let me just make sure that I'm understanding where we are. That for you, Janelle, that you really like to have some choice and some space sometimes. You just really need to collect yourself. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And for you, Ivory, you just really love to have fun with your sister. That's something that you really, really, really treasure. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So fun for Ivory. And space for Janelle. So I know I'm feeling kind of curious if we can come up with some ideas about how Janelle can get her need for space met and how Ivory can get her need for fun met. Does anybody have any ideas about that?
Yeah, well, if she'd just leave me alone and instead of grabbing things, when grabbing my food, when doing that stuff when she wants to play. If she could just hear me no, then I wouldn't get mad, and then maybe I'd be ready to play with her sooner. But when she does that, it doesn't work.
So let me make sure that I got that piece, that you would really like it if Ivory noticed that you were taking some space.
Yeah, and when I say I don't want to play, I want her to leave me alone, not just keep picking at me.
Uh-huh. So what you would like is you would like to be asked if you would like to play. And when you say no, you would like that no to be accepted. Is that it?
Yeah, that's what I want. I want it to hear no when I say no, so that, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm guessing what you'd really like underneath that no is that you would like Ivory to understand that what you're saying yes to your space now, and you would just like to have some acceptance that you're saying yes to space.
I want to cry when you say that. That's what I want. I have needs too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to actually take that over to Ivory. And Ivory, I really hear in how important this sense of space is to Janelle, and that when she's really taken that space, how precious that is for her. Would you be willing to reflect back what you heard was important to her?
Well, I heard she's crying because I don't give her space, and she needs to say no to me sometimes, and sometimes yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for reflecting back what you heard. I heard it just a little bit, teeny tiny bit different, that it's really about Janelle's need for space. It doesn't really mean anything about you, but just sometimes people need space, and how much Janelle enjoys that space. So would you be willing to reflect that piece back?
I heard you say that Janelle enjoys space.
Yeah. Janelle, did she get it?
She did. And I like playing with her sometimes, too. But I just can't do it all the time.
Yeah. So you're really wanting some understanding that you really enjoy playing with Ivory sometimes, but you just can't do it all the time.
That's right.
How do you feel when you hear that, Ivory? She really likes playing with you, but sometimes she needs space. But she really enjoys playing with you a lot of the time. How do you feel hearing that?
That made me smile.
Yeah. Well, you were happy hearing that.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm guessing you really enjoy your connection with Janelle.
Uh-huh. She's my favorite sister.
Yeah. I'm curious if you have any ideas, either of you have any ideas about how could solve this right now so that sometimes Janelle could get the space she needs and sometimes you could play together. Does anybody have any ideas?
Maybe you could say so. I don't know. Maybe you could tell us how we could do it. I don't know how to make it work because when I say no, she gets mad and it all gets away so fast. I don't know how to make it work.
Yeah, how to make it work. I'm wondering, Ivory, if you have any ideas.
Well, I get bored, and when she doesn't play with me, I don't know what to do.
Uh-huh. So sometimes you get bored and you don't know what to do.
Right. So.
Any ideas on what you could do when that happens for you?
Well, we could put the TV on, but Mama says we watch too much TV. Maybe I need to read a book, but it's lonely when I read a book by myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a lot of energy. I want to play.
Yeah, you love to play. You love to play.
And I want to make sure that she knows that I'm here.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid when she's in her space, she doesn't know I'm here.
Uh-huh. You know? So are you saying that one idea you have is that you could just let her know that you're ready to play whenever she's ready, that you could just say that to her?
I don't understand.
Yeah. What I heard you say, Ivory, is that you really love to play and that you want her to understand that you're ready to play. And I was thinking that maybe what you were saying is you could let her know that you were ready to play when she was ready. Is that what you're saying?
You mean I go over to her and say I want to play now?
That you're ready to play now if she's ready to play.
Oh, what if she's not ready to play? Still wants to be in her space.
Well, why don't you try it out right now? We could play it out and see. Let's just pretend like Janelle is taking some space and you would like to play. You could just go and ask her how she feels about it and then listen to her.
Okay.
Okay.
This is fun. Just I want to play with you now.
Well, I'm eating my crackers at the moment and I just want to eat my crackers at the moment, so maybe we could play a little bit later.
What does later mean?
Well, how about I tell you when I'm done?
Well, I don't know. How long is that? Night? Tomorrow?
No, I'll play with you a bit later, but I don't. I'm just going to wait until I want to be able to eat my crackers and read until I feel different, until I feel quiet, and then maybe I'll be ready to play. I don't know how long that's going to be.
Well, if you give me a cracker, I'll have something to do for a few minutes, and then I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm worried. I don't know if that's going to work, because then I give you a cracker. I'm getting worried, because if I give you a cracker, and then you eat it, and then you come and want another cracker, and I'm not getting any peace. I need some time where there's nothing happening so that I can feel better.
I want a dog. You want to play with me? I want a dog.
So that's another idea we could put on our list of ideas, is to find somebody or something else to play with other than Janelle. So I like that idea. Yeah. So I'm hearing two ideas so far. One idea is that you can talk about it, like you just did. I really enjoyed the way you connected with each other. And the other idea is that you can find something else to do and then come back later and check in again with Janelle. That's what I heard as Janelle's request. Is that she would just like to have some and have you come back and check.
Okay, so I go away, and then I come back later, and I ask her again, are you ready to play like that?
Yeah, how would that be for you, Janelle?
That'd be good. Yeah, that would work. If she go away, leave alone, that'd work.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this sounds like something that you would both like to try. Is that right?
She has to be nice. You can't yell at me.
Okay, I think I got it. So you're wanting when you ask, Janelle, You want a sense of respect or kindness or something like that. Is that right?
Exactly.
And so, Janelle, could you reflect that back, what you heard was important to Ivory? Make sure she got hurt.
I think she wants me to play nicely.
Yeah, yeah. So what would that look like to you, Janelle?
Well, maybe say, I don't want to play right now. Can you come back later and ask again?
Uh-huh. With that kind of tone of voice that you just said just now, is that what you mean?
Like that.
Uh-huh. How would that be for you, Ivory? Would that work for you?
Yes.
Okay. So that's another piece of the puzzle that you guys are building together, that when Ivory asks if Janelle would like to play, Janelle will respond back with what she would like to do instead in this kind of tone of voice and ask Ivory to come back in a while and ask again later. Is that right?
Yeah. Sometimes I'd make the tone of voice asking and asking. It's like the more she asks, the harder it is for me to talk like that. I get growly and I get mad. If she keeps asking, it's hard for me to be nice.
Uh-huh. So it's what sounds like for you, you're wanting some clarity that you want. Maybe what's important for you is that you let Ivory know what you mean by space. I heard her wanting clarity, too, about how much time space means to you. Do you have some idea of what that means to you?
Well, it's like if I say 5 minutes, you think 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and that's trouble. Is, you know, maybe if we had... Like, we've got a timer thing on the fridge, and if we could turn that all the way, and when the ding went, she could ask again or something. Because she just, I say an hour, and she's there 2 minutes later. She doesn't know anything about time, I don't think.
Okay. So I like this idea that you're bringing up, that you could use the timer. When you need space, you go and set the timer, and you do that together with Ivory. And you turn the timer, and then Ivory knows that when the bell rings, she could ask again. Is that right, Janelle?
Yeah, or if I'm sitting there eating my crackers, she can go get the timer. I don't want to have to get up and take care of all that detail.
Okay.
She could do that part, because I don't want to do that all the time.
Okay. So I'm hearing the idea is that Ivory will go and get the timer off the refrigerator and bring it to you, and you will set it, and then Ivory can ask again when it dings. Is that right?
Yeah, that'll work.
How does that sound to you, Ivory?
That's fun, because I could watch timer move.
Oh, and give you something to do too. Yeah. Okay, so let's just put the mediation on pause here. I think we've done enough of the demonstration to show what's going on, and just wanted to check in with our two disputants to find out how you feel about this part of the process, starting with you, Janelle.
I'm feeling relieved because my little sister she sounds like she's actually even excited to do it, and I can see that if we do that, we've got something to do where otherwise it all gets away. We've got something we can do instead of getting lost and getting mad. So I like it.
Okay, great. Sounds like a sense of relief that there's something that you can try, that you're predicting that maybe this will work better than what's been going on in the past.
That's right, and I can see it could be kind of fun for her, so that's good, because I really want her to have fun, too. I don't want to be grumpy all the time with her.
Uh-huh. So you've really opened up to what her needs are, too, and you see it to your advantage that she gets her needs right off of.
Yeah, it is. I see that. It's got to be hard being a little kid sometimes.
Yeah,
that's an expression of the natural empathy and understanding. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Janelle. And Ivory, how are you right now with this part of the process?
Well, this seems like a fun game to play. I like the idea that she's nicer to me now, and we have a game week together, and that's the setting of the timer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you don't understand all the process, but you do have a sense that your needs can be met. And one of your needs that's really important is fun.
Yes.
So I would like to see if there's anything either of you would like to say in role to me or Jory or any of the other mediators that you would like us to understand that really helped you during this conflict resolution process. Is there anything that you noticed that really helped you?
Funny, when you're a little kid, it's hard to tell what those people are doing, but you do feel it when it shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You remember any moment when shift happened in particular?
Yeah, there was the shift when something was really happening good for me when Richard was empathizing, and I don't know, and we did do a pause, and it felt good. And so I think what was happening there was the first sort of little light coming on where somebody was actually acknowledging what my needs were and taking the time with me to hear what I had to say, and it was like he was putting it in a language I understood, and it was just like, oh, I felt a physical just relief. He just sounded like God to me at that moment as a little kid. Then there was a play further on where I was asking for peace, and I can't quite remember who was mediating. I felt this huge relief. As I said, peace. And Jory came in and reiterated that that is a good place to stay. And that really, that's what I wanted to do there too, because it was like, oh, that's what it is. Dory's coaching at that time was very much in attune with what I would have wanted. She was representing what I wanted, so that was fantastic coaching. So that savoring, I really got a sense of how important that is. Thank you.
All right, Ivory, anything that really supported you in connecting to Janelle or connecting to yourself that you would like to say to the mediators?
Yes, and the mediators asked me to repeat back what I heard. I felt like a big person, and it was fun game, but it was important. I was getting a need I had, which was a sense of somebody caring.
Ah, thank you. Yeah. Sounds like another need in there was like an acknowledgement of your own capability as a human being, no matter how old you are, to be able to fulfill a request like that.
Uh-huh. That's a good way to say it. Yep.
Yeah. Great. Was there anything either of you would like to say in role of something that didn't work for you that you would suggest that we consider for our own learning?
Well, if you're doing this with children, there was vocabulary I didn't understand, like space. And a concept like time. So I would ask, do you understand what we mean by space?
Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you for that feedback. Anything else for you, Jeanette?
As far as the switching to resolution part, I think that was probably a really difficult place for somebody else to step in. But we got up and running after we got there, but that seemed like a difficult transition, and I can imagine stepping in as mediator right there and starting to move that way was difficult. So for me and Roel, I was sort of going, oh, we were moving, and then there wasn't any movement. And I don't know if that helps. I think it's just part of the learning for all of us.
I want to check this out. I think that points to the importance of connection, that how much connection was actually being built with the mediator. And so it was sort of jarring to think you were going to be connecting to somebody else.
Right. Yeah, I got lost for a minute. I disconnected.
Yeah, I love that you point that out. It points out how important the quality of connection that we're building with these people, that there's a quality of trust being built here for you to open up this way. So, yes, this is sort of an artificial piece that we do of switching things around. But in the mediation, that is something that we're really trying to nurture. Thanks for pointing that out.
Is there anything else either of you need to say before you let go of your role?
It was really fun playing the dispute. I was interested in doing that, and it was great being on this end of the process.
Yeah, I'm guessing great because there's so much learning in the actual experience of it, huh?
Yeah, the shift. I was really in role and feeling how important it is for a mediator to connect.
Thank you. I'd like to hear from the mediator, Jan. What celebrations and mornings do you have on having had this experience?
I wish I could pick up on the savoring. Well, I guess I'm glad I made a mistake because I learned from carrying the hurt over. Yeah, just getting clear on it. Really, that just saying the understanding enough to bring that over. I don't know. I found it challenging to work with the little ones. Maybe it stimulates me.
So this really touched some chords for you and your own family and the navigating being a mother.
Yeah.
Was it also trying to figure out what words would actually connect with the little one?
Part of the challenge was the interruptions and wanting just to have some grace around that. And yet still wanting to respect each one for their needs, and so kind of just navigating their pain and what's alive, wanting to build trust between them as well so that the process is not totally ignored in terms of having some equality and being heard or being recognized for what was important to them before the other one jumps in with their pain kind of thing.
Yeah. Keeping the balance there. I actually enjoyed watching you grow into that. And the first thing I heard you say was basically you asked Janelle not to speak. But then when her pain came back, the beauty of it is in mediation, if that didn't land for her, she would respond again. And then the next time she responded, you actually did give her just a little bit of empathy and then carried through. So I really enjoyed that part, Jan. I enjoyed watching you did one thing and then the next time you seemed to catch yourself and give the empathy. So
I liked watching the evolution of that, and I really appreciate that there was that opportunity to really take that time and savor, and I like the way you carried that. You just moved right into it when I made the suggestion. That's some of my feedback to you.
There's one other piece for me, Jen, that I really enjoy about your style of mediation, and that's the spaciousness that you bring. The observation is that when it's your turn to do something, I sense a pause of 2 to 3 seconds, and I'm guessing what you're doing is that you're connecting with yourself in that moment. And the outcome of that is it slows me down, and I think it slows the process down. I appreciate that. How do you feel hearing that?
Well, I appreciate that. It helps to get the feedback.
Great. Is there anything else that you would like to say to finish up this role play?
I'd just love to see more parents be able to navigate this territory like this. Oh, wow, what a beautiful world it would be.
Yeah. Yep. As we used to say, from your mouth to God's ears, or in this case, from your mouth to every parent. And can we all carry that message? Thanks. So, Richard.
I was really trying to be in the energy of the person that I was talking to when I was doing the mediation and trying to really focus on that, and found that for me to do that meant that I didn't feel myself struggling so much for the words like I usually am, and that felt good to me. And I really want to learn to do that. The other piece of that, going back to what I think Janelle was talking about when she felt like there was a gap there. If we get in the energy of that, we can always go back to that energy. You know, rather than having to reformulate the thoughts, we can get back into the energy fairly easy. And I'm learning that and find that it's very, very powerful. And I really appreciate the opportunity to experience that and see what that feels like, because today was really the first day where it really felt like that was beginning to happen for me. I really appreciate it.
Is there any moment as you reflect back that you want to highlight where you saw things really working, or any moment where you would have liked to have seen something different?
You know, for me, in doing the mediation part that I did, I always found myself struggling when I was struggling for the words and not struggling so much when I was in the energy. And that's what I'm trying to connect with and identify with.
Yeah, I really like the way you put that. The difference that makes a difference is where you're focusing. Whether you're focusing on your own empathic connection, which is what I guess you mean by the energy, or you're struggling to try to get it right, looking for the words.
Well, and I think it's really the energy of the other person that's so important, is to really begin to get into that, and not to the point that I get consumed by it and get distracted, but so that I really am feeling that rather than just hearing words. And I actually find that easier to do with children than I do with adults, because we typically hide that pretty well as adults, and children don't hide that.
So how much easier it is for you to connect to the energy rather than just to the words?
Yeah.
For me, that's empathy.
Yeah, that's how I define empathy.
That's how I define empathy.
Thank you very much for pointing that out. Anything else for you to finish up?
No, that's it's been a great experience. I appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So let's move on to Jana.
I'm feeling just absolutely delighted with the whole process that we've gone through from the very beginning class until now, bringing it full cycle. For me, being able to have these concrete examples that we have worked through in order to see it, practice it, be it, I'm just delighted. I've learned a lot, and now I feel like I'm being launched into a whole new world of learning because of what I can go back and listen to, figure out how it fits.
Yeah. Considering the delight that you're experiencing and the openness you have to continue to learn and grow from the experiences that we've had. And I'm also curious, as you were playing the role of mediator today, if you noticed anything that you'd like to highlight as a nugget of that learning that you have gotten over the last 6 weeks. What did you sense that really worked for you in the role of mediator?
I'm celebrating that I recognized when one of them, I can't remember who, was expressing some pain out of turn. And I'm celebrating that I managed to acknowledge that and ask if they would be able to wait. So I'm celebrating that I even recognized that I was able to do something with it. That's the big thing that I got today.
Great.
Yeah, I noted that too. I celebrate that with you also, the quality of the first aid empathy and the smoothness of maintaining the quality of connection between the three of you.
This is an example of the systemic perspective that mediators bring to a conflict. That as mediators, we have this sort of transcendent view because we're not actually hooked by the conflict. So we're able to appreciate the needs of all the parties and the needs of the larger system as well. And what you just expressed really highlights that skill set. So thank you for bringing that up. Anything else that you'd like to celebrate or mourn about your experience as mediator today?
I think that's it. It's being able to witness the whole cycle is huge.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Teresa, what would you like to highlight about the experience today?
It was really fun. I enjoyed all the mediation, listening to everybody. And then at the end, the resolution piece, listening to Jim, just the skillfulness. It would be like you'd say things, and I was like, oh, yes, that's so obvious or so clear. It made it look very easy. And, of course, I do not feel that sense of confidence at this stage by any means. Just being carried along through it and witnessing it. And, you know, whenever people are getting empathy, it always seems like, at least for me, I'm sure for most people, I'm receiving it as well. So it's this, I guess I would celebrate being in the energy of the empathy and holding space and the time and the care that just so largely isn't available in our world. So that was, I forget who said delightful, but it was very delightful. In terms of my mediating, I don't know if I get stage fright or what, but there's a part of me that just kind of has a sense of being once removed. I had a feeling of just going blank a couple of times. That sense of being on stage. So my presence factor isn't as much as I would have liked it to have been. But other than when I was in the role of mediator, I got to experience a lot of being present with the process. So that felt really good.
It sounds like even that last piece where you were noticing your stage fright, you were really present to noticing it in a way that was different for you, that you were able to really see it from a different perspective. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I was okay with it. It was like just a witnessing of this happening and accepting it, which honestly just feels really good. No argument with it.
Yeah, giving yourself permission to have whatever experience you're having.
Exactly.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I think I've been mediating for, I don't know, getting close on 20 years or something like that now. This still happens to me pretty much every mediation at some point where I will get completely befuddled, flummoxed, discombobulated, whatever word you want to use, and I just don't have any idea what to do. Luckily, Jory's there, and maybe she'll have an idea what to do because we co-mediate.
I'm not always there.
Yeah, you're not always there, but even if you're not there, and this happens to me, what I'm learning to do is to just be present to that and to trust the process that even if I'm quiet and trying to figure it out for 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever the length of time is, the parties are also having a chance then to connect with what would most meet their needs in the next moment. So my discombobulation can actually serve the process because if I can use that to remember to connect with myself and then be honest, then it will move the process forward.
That points for me to that piece around what are we really responsible for. And for me, I notice that anxiety comes up when I think I'm responsible for what is happening for them. And as soon as I can drop into myself and reconnect and move away from anything that's pulling me toward that disconnection by staying with my own presence and acknowledging my own needs and my own what I'm responsible for, the anxiety goes away.
I appreciate that, Jory, because that's exactly what I was thinking, was somehow I'm carrying this sense of responsibility that, I mean, it's a burden and it gets in the way. And, you know, that's something that's been reinforced in this class from the beginning, and it's probably been one of my greatest pieces that I've gotten from this, is how you've talked several times about that sense of responsibility. As people, whatever their reactions or responses are, that's theirs. And being respectful of that without taking it into some sense of myself that, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or, you know, the things that we typically do. So that's been a really important piece for me. I really value hearing it said different ways at different times. Just for me personally, it's been really valuable beyond the help that it provides in mediation or in empathy or relationships in general. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. It's something that I hold so dear. I think I said in the middle of the mediation at one point coaching about that phrase, makes you feel like something outside of you can control what goes on inside of you. I'm very cautious about that in my own life because I realize what that creates for me, and I'm also pretty vigilant about any kind of phrase like that when I work with people, because I'm wanting them each to take responsibility for themselves, not to lean in and lose themselves like they should be doing something for the other. Thank you for acknowledging that piece again, because I do hold that very dear.
All right. Anything else for you before we move to Janelle and then Ivory from an adult perspective? Anything else for you, Teresa?
No.
Okay. So Janelle, from your role as practitioner, mediation student, whatever, adult human being, anything that you'd like to highlight?
I don't really know where to start. I've got so much I'd like to say, but I'm going to have to edit myself. I did want to say, I observed when, like, I think it was Jan that took over the last part of the mediation where we were going to work towards resolution. I noticed that as it slowed down, and I was actually to receive empathy, my sense of anxiety, like the child that was going, look at all the time we're spending on this. Oh, here we go again. As soon as I received empathy, my whole world slowed down and I had all the time in the world for this. So I saw that, and I kept hearing that connection comes when somebody can slow it down. I want to backtrack a little bit, and that before I joined this class, I spent 2 hours teaching some people how to do some really subtle hands-on work with a man who'd had a stroke, and the whole process was about getting him to slow down and let go and teaching them how to do it. And this whole conversation that we've had today about learning mediation and connection and all of this, it's the same stuff. So I see how this whole experience of being in this learning environment has fed into everything that I'm trying to do, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I was also reflecting on how the first one of these I came into, I jumped in over my head and went straight into a situation that I knew was probably over my head, and I went through all the terror of learning and feeling it exposed, and I really got an opportunity to look at that for what it was. It took me right back into childhood. I was just reflecting on how this process of moving slowly and listening to everybody else's feedback has really, it highlights to me what a wonderful, safe learning environment it's been. And although it's always, there's some discomfort in going out of my comfort range, learning, it's been minimal. Yet I feel like I believe the learning has been huge. Being somewhat relaxed and keeping it moving slowly and having lots of space has really allowed me to absorb a tremendous amount of information. And going over the tapes has only reinforced that. This has just been a phenomenal learning experience, and I'm seeing myself differently as a result of having gone through this.
Thank you for sharing that, and I've given you on with the checkout at this point so you can respond to the completion of this course. Thank you.
One of the things I appreciated about this last mediation was I had no idea the direction. And sometimes, I think it was Jim might have said, so you're feeling sad, and I wasn't feeling sad. So I could say no to that. And what I saw with that is, as mediators, you're mining. You have a sense of what an emotion might be or feeling. You don't know, and you have to ask, and you might get no, and you just keep on mining. So what I liked about the mediation was the organicness of it. You sometimes, also, as Jim said earlier, you don't know what you're doing, but it unfolds, particularly in this last mediation. I had no idea what direction or resolution we could come to, and yet it naturally unfolded. That reassures me as a mediator that you really can't go wrong or do something horrendous. I'm grateful for this learning experience, and I thank you. I thank you both.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
I share the same sense of enormous gratitude for being able to participate in this, and lots of learnings, lots of realization of where I can go to improve and all of that. I really appreciated the small group that we've had. That's been real important to me. I agree with some of the rest of you that, you know, if parents could begin to experience what this is like, not only between the husband and wife, but also between the kids, it could just revolutionize how we get along in our society. I serve on a board that deals with domestic violence, and so we see a lot of people who can't get along. And so I'm grateful that there is a ray of light, even for people in very difficult situations, and want to be a part of that resolution. So I thank you very much.
Thank you. Jim?
I really had fun with this class and really enjoyed the sense of community that we created together, the sense of mutual learning, the vulnerability, the authenticity, just the kind of needs were met for me. Joy?
Yes, I'm really pleased for the time we spent together. Thank you for doing this work.